Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast for Tuesday, October 31st. That's right, it's the Halloween edition. I am your host, Matt Shook, and we are here with the 5-2 Pistons who are preparing for the last of a three-game road trip tonight. That's Tuesday night, to take on the LA Lakers at Staples Center, a 10:30 game on Tuesday night on NBA TV nationally and also Fox Sports Detroit locally as well. The Pistons, of course, coming off the 115-107 win on Sunday night against the defending champion Golden State Warriors in Oakland, a big game that's got the national media buzzing somewhat about the Pistons so far this week. The Pistons will be going into that Lakers game facing a Los Angeles team coached by Luke Walton, who's 2-4 on the young season, and the Pistons will be 4-point favorites, so consult your bookie if you got a feeling either way on that one. We'll get into the Lakers later on the podcast, tell you everything you need to know for Tuesday night's game. Looking ahead a little bit, the Pistons will return home after that game on Tuesday night for a 5-game homestand, which begins on Friday night against the Milwaukee Bucks, another up-and-coming Eastern Conference team there with Giannis, another budding superstar out in the Eastern Conference as well. And then the Sacramento Kings will come in for a Saturday night game as the Pistons will go back-to-back this weekend. So if you got any excuses left as to why the attendances have been so low, well, they're winning, and now they're playing on Friday and Saturday nights with not a lot else going on in the sporting calendar this weekend as well. So we will see with the World Series wrapping up and whatnot. So we will see what the crowd looks like at Little Caesars this weekend, Little Caesars Arena this weekend, and we'll see what a winning team coming in at 5-3 or 6-2 will attract at the gate in downtown Detroit. So like I said, we'll have notes about the Lakers a little bit later. I'll tell you a little bit about a new exciting daily fantasy promotion that we have through the Locked On Network that I'd like you guys to get involved in if you could, and we'll have a little fun with that. And then I'll also give up some last-minute Halloween costume ideas for the Pistons, and I want you to get in touch with me on the Locked On Pistons Twitter account that I also run, and your ideas for some of the suggestions if, say, Anthony Tolliver or Stan Van Gundy wakes up on Tuesday morning and is looking for a costume suggestion, and maybe I'll give you a retweet from the Locked On Pistons Twitter account out of that as well, or you can reach out to me on Facebook as well. So I wanted to touch upon the reaction from the Pistons' 115-107 win against Steph Curry and Kevin Durant and Steve Kerr and the Golden State Warriors. And the best way to do that is to gauge what the national websites are thinking with the power rankings. Those come out on Mondays on a lot of national websites. ESPN's Mark Stein started it a few years back. Of course, he's no longer with ESPN as he was a victim of the layoffs this past spring. And he's now with the New York Times, actually, but the ESPN.com kept up the tradition, and they've got the Monday group of experts that vote on the power rankings, and other websites have moved on with that idea as well. So I scanned those today, and ESPN.com, they have the Pistons moving up from spot 16 in the preseason to number 15 right now, and they mentioned that Tobias Harris and CJ McCollum of the Portland Trailblazers are the only two players with 100 points scored so far this season, along with 5 or less turnovers. So a nice distinction there for the Pistons power forward. And Sports Illustrated, kind of along that same vein, had the Pistons last week ranked 18th and moved them up to 15th as well, saying that the Pistons are kind of a puzzle that hasn't really been solved yet. It's a good start, of course, but they're still not sold on the depth of this team and Andre Drummond's consistency. So we'll see that as the season goes on along with them. And I get where they're coming from. So those two power rankings right at 15 for ESPN and Sports Illustrated. Obviously, those two power rankings took into account, you know, the expectancy of where they will be in the preseason, along with looking ahead to where they might be in a month or at the end of the season or come playoff time or whatever. The next two power rankings that I'm going to reference obviously are taking just into account these first 2 weeks of games, which I think is kind of a strange way of going about it. But obviously with the Pistons 5-2 start, it has them more on a favorable light in that list. So starting with CBSSports.com, Chris Barnwell has the Pistons ranked number five in the league. So kind of hard to believe, but like I said, if you're basing it just upon these first 2 weeks with nice wins against the Clippers and the Warriors on the road over the weekend, I guess I can see where they're coming from. They've got the Grizzlies of Memphis number one on that list. So that tells you just about what they've what their motivation is in terms of rankings. And to give another perspective, the Pistons are number five and Golden State is number six. And I don't think very many people expect, even the most diehard of Pistons fans, expect the ranking to end that way as the season goes on. But along those same lines, the Sporting News, which apparently is still around, even not after not offering me an internship when I was in college and flew down to St. Louis for the interview down there. But Sporting News is still alive and kicking as a website, although no longer a print magazine. Sean Devaney actually is a good NBA writer for them, so props to Sean Devaney. He does a good job with their NBA coverage. And they also have the Pistons up in the top five. They actually have them number four. And again, the Memphis Grizzlies, after their 5-2 start out west, they've got them ranked number one. So some interesting perspectives there from the national media as far as where the Pistons are after this nice start. We'll monitor that as the season goes on. It won't be an every Monday look that we'll have at that. But moving on a little bit here, I want to talk about a new app called Draft and the partnership that they have with the Locked On Podcast Network. They also can be found on draft.com, or you can download the Draft app in the App Store for your Apple phone or for your apps wherever you get them, for the Android or wherever else as well. So I'm going to set up a draft on this daily fantasy site, which you can also have season-long fantasy games as well. But I'm going to set it up for Wednesday's game. It's a full slate of NBA games, although the Pistons aren't playing. So you can try it out and come play with me there. When you sign up, use the promo code LOPISTONS, all caps, and use that promo code, and they'll give you entry into your first game for free. Just to give you an example, I played for the first time tonight on Monday night. I put in my free entry, won the game, and won $13.50 that I can easily just throw into PayPal if I want. It's a five-man starting lineup. I drafted Jeff Teague, Gary Harris, Blake Griffin, Draymond Green, and Joel Embiid, and won easily. So money in my pocket from this. So if you use the promo code, the site will automatically have you following me, and you can find the games. I'll set that up sometime on Tuesday, and then you can be able to find that really easily as we'll draft for Wednesday's games. And then we'll kind of see how it goes, and I'll talk about the champion and how they did on Thursday's podcast, which, of course, is a big honor in and of itself, but you'll also get the cash there too. Well, I have a feeling since after the big weekend for the Pistons out west, the Tuesday night's game for Fox Sports Detroit might have a little bit higher ratings than expected, so I wanted to give you guys a little bit of a primer for what you know about the LA Lakers going into the game at the Staples Center. Again, 10:30 Eastern Time, NBA TV and Fox Sports Detroit. The LA Lakers and the Pistons, of course, have all sorts of history. The Pistons have been to the NBA Finals five times. You all remember those. And in those five times, they've played the Lakers three of those times, losing in 1988 to Magic and Kareem, and then winning the next year in 1989 for the franchise's first title. And then Shaq and Kobe had the five-game sweep to the Pistons in 2004. This year's version of the Lakers, as we know, they're in a little bit of a rebuilding phase, kind of going at the post-Kobe era, trying to rebuild a little bit, might do it in free agency a little bit this summer. But for now, they're all sorts of young guys all over the roster. Right now, they're 2-4. They've got eight guys averaging double figures in scoring, but no one over 15.5 points a game. So all in that medium range. Comparatively speaking, the Pistons only have four guys scoring double figures a game. Jordan Clarkson of Mizzou leads the way off the bench. He's played all six games off the bench for the Lakers and Luke Walton this season, and he is scoring 15.5 points a game to lead the way. So he might be matched up with like a Langston Galloway type in some of those reserve minutes so far this season. One of the big offseason stories for the Lakers was Kyle Kuzma, the 27th pick of the draft out of Utah. He slid in the draft and he's been playing well off the bench. He had a really nice summer league in preseason and garnered a lot of attention for some of his play. He's kind of a power forward who can hit shots from the outside as well. Will be someone to keep an eye on too for the Pistons. A familiar face is going to be in the lineup for the Lakers as Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. His restricted free agency rights were renounced by the Pistons in the offseason, and he went to LA on a one-year, about $18 million deal, which was a nice amount of money for him, but he obviously wanted a longer-term deal. So he sat out a two-game suspension to start the season this year because of the DUI that he had in the Metro Detroit area last year. Since he's been back, he started every game for Coach Walton. He's averaging 10.8 points per game and shooting 27.8 percent from three-point land. So some of the problems that he had shooting from distance continue over in La La Land. It'll be interesting to see KCP going up against Avery Bradley probably in the backcourt, as the comparison was made throughout the offseason after the Pistons traded for Avery Bradley from Boston and lost KCP in a subsequent move, that KCP was kind of trying to become the player that AB already was, kind of in a best-case scenario for where his career was going. So, you know, those careers will kind of have a mirror image and should be interesting to compare as the years go on. More ironically, as you look at the two, both of them are on now on the last years of their deals, so they're both going to be on the free agent markets next season. And if the Pistons lose Avery Bradley, if he gets more money elsewhere or sees himself in a better role elsewhere, the Pistons, while still in salary cap hell, might be looking for more of a cheaper option. It's, you know, it's not inconceivable that the Pistons could look for a reunion with KCP in the offseason. I don't think that there was any bad feelings for how that all shook down professionally for both sides, although you never know what's going on in that locker room. And, of course, the Pistons are much better off so far early in the season with Bradley as opposed to Caldwell Pope, who the Pistons drafted out of Georgia with the 7th pick a few years back. So moving on with the Lakers, they got Brooke Lopez. They traded him in a salary dump of D'Angelo Russell in the offseason to try to get more expiring contracts with the Brooklyn Nets, and netted Brooke Lopez in that deal. So a nice veteran center who's kind of probably supposed to lead the way in the locker room early on. And then some young names to watch out for: Brandon Ingram out of Duke, Julius Randle out of Kentucky. Larry Nance Jr. is an athletic player who is the son of former high flyer for the Cleveland Cavaliers, Larry Nance. So the biggest name of the Lakers, and the one you're probably tired of hearing about, is Lonzo Ball, the rookie who was the second pick of the draft this past season. He of the famous father — I don't know if you've heard of LaVar Ball, but you probably have if you follow sports at all. So far, Lonzo is averaging 10 points a game, 7.7 assists, and kind of surprisingly, 7.5 rebounds from the point guard position. He made news this week as he took the blame for the loss on the road against Utah on Saturday. He said he was taking cues from his favorite player, LeBron James, and taking blame for the loss, and also that his dad, LaVar, taught him a lot of accountability. It's one of those things that makes you sound like you're a good guy and sound like you're humble to take the blame for a loss, but it's actually kind of one of those humble brag kind of things that if you're the guy who can cause your team to lose, then you must be the guy who'd be causing all the success, and that you're the alpha male of the team and whatnot. So it's one of those things where you kind of suspect that not being quite as humble as you might think when you're taking credit for the loss with a young team. So obviously all these players are kind of auditioning for future roles with the Lakers, the team, and Magic Johnson now in the front office with kind of the finger on the pulse and making the decisions for the team right now. A lot of rumors of LeBron James possibly moving on to the Lakers this offseason in free agency. It really, after the finals, that when the Cleveland Cavaliers lost to the Golden State Warriors this past spring or this past June, it sounded like maybe it was a done deal that LeBron might be headed to LA next year. But you haven't heard much about it since the beginning of the summer. I suspect as the Cavaliers go through whatever happens with them, they've had a really slow start. I suspect that they're going to bounce back and have enough in the tank to have a pretty solid regular season. There's always drama with LeBron James, Cleveland Cavaliers teams during the regular season, and I suspect that that will continue, and you will continue to hear all sorts of rumors about LeBron heading to Los Angeles to play maybe with Paul George or whoever else becomes available on the trade market. So certainly a lot of guys that, although the Lakers aren't going to be good with the current makeup of the roster this season and really for the foreseeable future, I would expect that this team will make some moves and be a very relevant team going forward very soon. So will LaVar Ball and Lonzo Ball and LeBron James get together and be a championship contender down the line? We will see, but certainly this is a young Los Angeles Lakers team that's still looking at possibly adding another important piece in the draft next season. They'll be looking at making some tough decisions on some of those young players that we talked about, the Brandon Ingrams, the Julius Randles of the world, if they do want to bring on some salary in the form of LeBron James or Paul George or whoever else going forward. Another interesting name that they might be shopping on the trade market is Luol Deng, as he has a big contract that they signed last offseason, and if they're going to be making some serious moves this summer, they might need to attach Luol Deng to possibly one of those young players to dump his contract on someone else as the Lakers and Magic Johnson try to retool that team. So that's a look at what the Pistons will have to look forward to on Tuesday night at Staples Center. And hey, it's Halloween, and since I'm always that guy who doesn't know what their costume is going to be to the last minute if I come up with any kind of costume at all, I decided I'd help out some of our Pistons players and coaches with a couple of Halloween costume ideas, last-minute ones that they can throw together if they're going to have a party after the big win tonight against the Lakers in Los Angeles. If you have any other suggestions for some costumes for Pistons or old Pistons or, you know, future Pistons, coaches, front office people of the past, maybe even against opponents or something like that, send me a tweet at LockedOnPistons, all one word. I'll give you a retweet if I like it, and I'm guessing my standards won't be all that high, so you'll probably get a retweet no matter what if you include me as a mention in there. Here's a couple ideas. How about Boban so far as a ghost? He's been invisible, and at 7'3", he would look pretty funny as sneaking up on people with a sheet over him or something like that. So Boban, you can be a ghost. How about Stan Van Gundy, the mad scientist so far, trying to find the formula, the right rotations, the right roster spots that he's been putting together this last year or so. Stan Van Gundy dressing up as a mad scientist as he's kind of doing that job pretty much day in and day out with the Pistons as a front office guy and coach as well. Reggie Jackson, how about he can dress up as an old lady, because I was watching the replay of the Golden State game today, and when he was on the bench, despite the fact that he looks like he's so tired no matter what when he's on the court and he's sweating so much that he must be just as hot as hell out there, he's actually, when he's on the bench, he's bundled up, he's got the hoodie up just like Andre Drummond does during warmups, but he's got the hoodie up, he's got the towel draped around his entire face, his entire back, like a lot of the NFL coaches are doing these days. He looks like he's freezing cold or something like that while he's in the game. And of course, he complained about the cold at Little Caesars Arena with the ice surface underneath the court when they were doing some of their first workouts at the arena before the season started. And of course, with the knee problems that he has, he's kind of starting to remind me more of a grandma than an NBA point guard. So he can dress up like an old lady for Halloween this year. And then I got a group costume. I was looking up and down the roster, and how about some of these old-timey first names that the Pistons have? You got Henry Ellenson, you got Ish Smith, which of course is Ishmael Smith, Langston Galloway, and Stanley Johnson. Those four guys, while all young men, they certainly have the names of our great grandfathers. Maybe they can be like a 1950s R&B group, or maybe a 1920s swing band, or how about some pirates or rum runners or bootleggers or something like that. Some kind of old-timey group costume. So I'm just spitballing here for them. So maybe Henry Ellenson, Ishmael Smith, Langston Galloway, and Stanley Johnson, who have names that sound like they're from the 1930s or something like that, but they're all modern-day basketball players. Maybe they can team up and with a group costume using their first names. So, hey, free advice. You guys can use it if you want, or maybe put it in the bank for next Halloween. But hey, those guys are playing well on the basketball court so far this year, and we'll be following them throughout the season here on Locked On Pistons. Want to thank you for joining us for another episode, and have a good, enjoy the Pistons-Lakers game on Tuesday night with memories of Kareem and Magic and Shaq and Kobe and some of those finals matchups. And we'll be back on Wednesday with a recap of that one. And thanks for joining us on Locked On Pistons, everyone. Have a good one.